John Stauffer is the author of the just-published book Giants, The Parallel Lives of Frederick Douglass and Abraham Lincoln. In the second part of our interview, we asked the author, who is also the chair of the History of American Civilization and professor at Harvard University, what the two men had in common.
They had great oratory. Douglass was considered a better public speaker than Lincoln. They also had in common the fact that they rose up from the dregs of society. I think most writers have romanticized Lincoln's prairie upbringing. It was a brutal world in which the defining aspects of manhood and for both in the communities of both Douglass and Lincoln was the capacity to drink hard and to fight viciously. So where they started from, in an ironic way, because Douglass had started as a slave, was not that dissimilar. Another similar trait that they shared was profound faith in God or the supernatural. It manifested itself differently, but both Douglass and Lincoln believed that God could enter into and affect the world. And especially Lincoln never attended church regularly, and Douglass's understanding of God came more than anything else from his own reading and rereading of the Bible. Same with Lincoln. That was a shared common ground. Another was they both married up, and the women in their lives were indispensable to their rise. Mary Todd was at least as savvy about politics as Lincoln was, and advised him in every step of the way, from him being in the state legislature to his rise to presidency. Anna Murray, Douglass's wife, was a free black woman. It was because of her that Douglass was able to run away and become free in the first place. It was her money that allowed Douglass to pass as a free black sailor, to buy a train ticket to go from a slave in Baltimore to freedom in New York City, in which she joined him immediately thereafter. They were married, and she also helped support him when he got his start as a paid lecturer, as a paid orator on the abolitionist circuit. So that's another shared aspect. And then one other is the way in which they both defined self-making or self-made men in very similar terms. The term self-making was invented when they were both young men. It was invented by Henry Clay. It meant different things to different people at that time. For many people, self-making was analogous or synonymous with individualism, which is a term coined by the great Frenchman Alexis de Tocqueville. Individualism was the belief that one was in control of one's own destiny. Douglass and Lincoln never said that they had any control in their destiny, that their self-making had to do with a lot of factors totally outside of their control. And in fact, they both quoted Shakespeare's Hamlet to account for their destiny, in which Hamlet says, "There's a divinity that shapes our end, the rough hoe though it may be." For them, luck had a lot to do with who they were and how they were able to rise up. Faith, hard work, chance, environment and circumstance were important. And the final kind of common ground or shared characteristic is that Douglass and Lincoln were people or two men who continually remade themselves, and they embraced the idea of the self in the state of continual evolution. And that very concept of the self cuts against or contradicts the idea of racism, because racism, the notion that white skin is superior to black skin, depends upon a self that is fixed and unchanging.
You also write in the book, you mentioned a moment ago, abolitionist John Brown, that Frederick Douglass believed that John Brown's death had started the war that ended slavery. But then Lincoln's death could begin the process of reconciliation between blacks and whites. But, of course, that did not really happen.
No. It did for a while in the North. I mean, after Lincoln, Douglass gave this, I think, a brilliant eulogy on the Lincoln's died at 7 in the morning on Holy Saturday, and he gave a talk to his townspeople in Rochester later that day, and said that Lincoln's death has the capacity to bridge the racial divide between northern blacks and whites, making us all kin. And certainly from most of Reconstruction, there was a shared belief in common ground among blacks and whites. The two men helped to transform American culture in the sense that after the war, you know, the vast majority of Northerners, blacks and whites, embraced the concept of universal freedom and helped to pass the not only the 13th Amendment, which abolishes slavery, but the 14th and 15th Amendment, which grants black men the suffrage and guarantees legal equality under the law for all people, men and women. And that could not have occurred without the efforts of Douglas and Lincoln, as well as countless others.